Take our Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Many pastors would say that Mother's Day is the hardest day to preach or get the sermons. I don't think it's that way. I guess sometimes ladies can be grumpy or if you say the wrong thing on Mother's Day, but I know you guys are all very forgiving. You guys all just want to hear the truth and it doesn't matter what you say, right? No. Thankful for our mothers, thankful for the songs. I think about the choir song. You know, what does your child see in you? And that's important. We want them to see Christ. We want to see Christ's love. And here in Galatians chapter number 5, we're going to talk about how to be a spirit-filled mom, or it applies to everyone, a spirit-filled Christian, a spirit-filled husband, father, whoever it is. And the amazing thing is in the scriptures, there is some different interesting, to be a well-rounded Christian means you have to be someone who's passionate and strong and bold, but also someone who's merciful and loving and kind. And the challenge that goes along with that, how can you be like that? And I thought it was a great sermon, at least the Lord laid it upon my heart. I was planning on preaching it last week, but we moved things around and did something different on Sunday afternoon. And the Lord laid it upon my heart about preaching about this to being a spirit-filled mom, because moms got to wear a lot of different hats. They got to do a lot of different things. I came across this illustration, and I think I read it years ago, but it's the job description of a mother. A job description of a mother. First, the description is long-term. Team players are needed for challenging, permanent work and often chaotic environments. And then it continues on. We'll just wait till that's off. There it goes. Candidates must possess excellent communication and organizational skills. They must be willing to work variable hours, which will include evenings, weekends, and frequently 24-hour shifts on call. Some overnight travel is required, including trips to primitive camping sites on rainy weekends, endless sporting events, and faraway cities. Travel expenses are never reimbursed, and extensive carrier duties are also required. Responsibilities of a mother. Once again, I know these are limited, but the rest of your life, you must be willing to be hated, at least temporarily, until someone needs $5. And you must be willing to bite your tongue repeatedly. Also, you must possess the physical stamina of a pack mule and be able to go from 0 to 60 miles an hour in 3 seconds flat in case that the screams from the backyard are not someone just crying wolf and someone who really needs you. You must be willing to face stimulating technical challenges, such as putting small gadgets together and repairing them continuously, mysteriously sluggish toilets and stuck zippers. Must screen phone calls, maintain calendars, and coordinate production of multiple homework projects. Must have ability to plan and organize social gatherings for clients of all ages and mental outlooks. Must be willing to be indispensable 1 minute and an embarrassment the next minute. Must handle assembly and product safety, testing of 500,000 cheap plastic toys, and battery-operated devices. Must always hope for the best, but be prepared for the worst. Must assume final complete accountability for the quality of the end product. And the responsibilities also include floor maintenance, janitorial work throughout the entire facility. Doesn't sound like a job many people are signing up for. Think about the possibility of advancement. There is virtually none. Your job is to remain in the same position for years, without complaining, constantly restraining and updating your skills so that those in your own charge can ultimately surpass you and someday tell you what to do. Previous experience, there is none required, but on-the-job training is offered at a continually exhausting basis. Now here's the thing. You think, well, man, they must get paid really well. Wages and composition. Get this, you pay them. Offering frequent raises and bonus, and then a balloon payment is due when they turn 18 because the assumption of that college will help them become financially independent. When you die, you give them whatever is left, and the oddest thing is the reverse salary scheme is that you actually enjoy it and wish you could do more for your family. Benefits, While there's no health or dental insurance, no pension, no tuition reimbursement, no paid holidays, and no stock options that are offered, this job supplies limitless opportunities for personal growth and free hugs for life. So you say, that sounds kind of silly, and it is in some ways, but the idea is, if we want to be the right whatever we are, whether it's a mother or a father, son, daughter, husband, wife, we need God's help. The Bible uses strange sometimes, like they use the word strength and beauty together in Psalms. And so that's usually when you think of something that is strong, you don't always think of it something that's beautiful, especially in the day and time that people are thinking about. When they describe Jesus, they called him someone that was full of grace and truth. And many times someone will beat somebody over the head with the truth and won't have much grace. But God is saying here that Jesus is teaching us that you can have both. Even mercy and truth is something that's combined. Zeal and knowledge. Different things that you would not think go together, but they are things that God says under his control and under his spirit control, these are things that you can provide. And I can understand how a mother can become overwhelmed or how anyone can come overwhelmed with all the different responsibilities they have. And they're thinking, how in the world can I be this and this and be this for everyone? We read that long list of description there. We thought it was a little bit comical, but there is truth that in the positions that God has placed us, there is so many different facets of our life. To truly have Christ being shown through our life, we need his help. And so often we live our lives without seeking it. This morning in Sunday school in the auditorium class, I preached a message or a lesson, whatever you want to call it, helping yourself while helping others. And I talked about the inspiration I've seen in the last 17 or 18 years of watching people take care of loved ones, many times exhausting themselves. Sometimes I even tell them and says, look, you need to take care of yourself because if you're not here and if you don't take care of yourself physically, there's no way you're going to be there to help take care of this person you love so much. I use the example of my mom. Many of you know her taking care of my younger brother that's mentally handicapped and also my dad as he was going through the strokes. Thankfully, my dad is better now, but it was overwhelming, all the work and all the things that were there. My brother needs constant care, and my dad at that time needed constant care, and I had a hard conversation with her and said, look, you got to take care of yourself also. If you physically are not there and physically not able to help those that you love, guess what? You're not going to be able to take care of them. And the illustration is, and I've watched, I said, I've seen people take care of their children, and I've seen people take care of their mates, and it's inspiring. But there's no way that you're going to physically be able to help take care of somebody else unless you take care of yourself physically. But the point of this morning's lesson was it's the same thing spiritually. There's no way you can spiritually help effectively take care of someone unless you take care of yourself spiritually first. We talked about the inner man. We talked about strengthening the inner man. We talked about the how we should be ornated, or how ladies in 1 Peter chapter 3 should be not worry so much about hair and clothing and jewelry, but the beauty of the inner man and that meek and quiet spirit and all those different things. There is no way I can effectively pastor a church unless I take care of the inner man first. There is no way I can effectively take care of being a husband and a father unless I'm spending time in his word and spending time submitting myself to God and submitting myself to his spirit. There is no way I can take care of my responsibilities as a father and as a son and as a husband, as a pastor, all those different things. I cannot care for people spiritually until first I take care of caring for myself spiritually. I think you get that. I think you understand that. But so often, we will spend so much time taking care of the physical. So often, we'll take so much time taking care of the way we look. And we used the illustration this morning about how much time we take to make ourselves look good, or at least as good as we can. And then we compare that how much times we make our inner man look good. Because it's amazing, 1 Peter chapter 3, and the description that they give, how so many times a lady will take so much time working on the outward, the plaiting of the hair, the gold, this and that, but the most important thing is the inward man. I want to encourage you today, and as we look at this about being a spirit-filled Christian or a spirit-filled mom, I want you to remember this important truth. It is impossible, and I mean impossible, to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit of God and leaning on the Holy Spirit of God and being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot do everything that the Bible tells us we're supposed to do without God's help. That's the reason why we see so many people have portions of the fruit of the Spirit, portions of what needs to be done, doing portions of what needs to happen is because of the fact they're trying to do it in their own strength. And I truly, honestly believe you cannot be the mother or the father or whoever it is, whatever role you have that you need to be without the Spirit of God's help. So as we spend so much time on the physical, we spend so much time, and once again, I've seen people, not only those that are taking care of their mates, I've seen people run themselves ragged so their kids do not miss out on something. I see and hear stories about when it's basketball season and there's practice every night or there's basketball games every night and how they're up late, get up early and stay out late, all those different things. And I see all these different things. Not only that, I know there's practices when it not only gets sports, there's instrument practice, and then there's this practice and this. And I see a world that is so busy and spends so much time doing so many things because they don't want their child to live without. But what they really need is a parent that has spent time first making sure they're spiritually strong. They need that so much more than they need someone who teaches them to throw a ball. And don't get me wrong, I think you should teach your child to throw the ball. I think you should teach your child how to sing. I think you should do all those things. Say, Pastor, I can't do it all. When you surrender yourself to him, he'll show you what's most important. And he'll give you the path and the way to do it. So today, let's look for a little while about a spirit-filled mother. Let's look here in Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 16. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. I know many of you would say, yeah, I know this. The question is, do we live it? Let's look here. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the opportunity is there that we walk in the Spirit, which means that we're saying yes to the Spirit and saying no to the flesh. You can't do both at the same time. That's what we like to think we can. We think that we can please the Spirit and please the flesh at the same time. That is contrary. They're contrary. That's where the problem is when it comes into Christian rock music. It's no such thing. It's either you're pleasing the Spirit or you're pleasing the flesh. They're at enmity once against another. That's what it comes to a worldly or fleshly church. You can't please both at the same time. Either you're pleasing the Lord or you're not pleasing him. Let's keep on going. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are, and look what it says, are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So either you're going to please God with your life, or you're going to please yourself or your flesh. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And we're not going to spend a lot of time looking at those, but those times when our hearts and when we respond wrong as a parent or when we respond wrong as an individual, we got to remember we're not being spiritually led then. We are being led by the flesh. Those angry outbursts, those things that we justify and just say, that's not spirit controlled. But here it says in verse 22, but I love the word but in the Bible many times. And if you go through and just look at the phrase but God throughout the Bible, it's an amazing, amazing study. He says there's a difference, though, a difference between being spirit-led and fleshy-led. If you're fleshy-led, these things are on the table. Sometimes we think about how in the world can a mother treat their child like that, and how in the world can a mother do all these horrible things, and you have that there is because they're appeasing the flesh, they're pleasing their flesh, you're not pleasing the Lord, and you never know how far it can be taken. And it's scary stories you hear out there about how some mothers treat their children, even some who decide to have abortions and things like that. Then you go to verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. There's a difference. The fruit that is produced in their life is the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, it's joy, it's peace. It continues on and says, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. The amazing thing is you look and you study out each of those words, and we're not going to take the time looking at all of them, but it talks about joy, but then it also talks about long-suffering. How many of us really get joy out of patience? Then it talks about meekness, which is not a form of weakness. If anything, it's strength under pressure. It's the one that's not responding, even though they could and they deserve a right. I think of many times those police officers that are standing, and maybe not here in Elizabeth City as much, but sometimes in Elizabeth City across the world, and you have people that are rioting and protesting and just getting up in their face, and you're wondering how in the world can they stand that? That's what meekness is. They have the strength. They have even the authority to. They have the weapons. They could do whatever they wanted to that individual, but they choose not to. Jesus was able to knock out anybody he wanted to. He was able to cause that group of men to fall over in the Garden of Gethsemane, that large number of men. But Jesus was a perfect example of meekness. He could have said, hey, you're out of here to any of those. He could have come off the cross if he wanted to, but he chose not to. He had the strength to, but he chose to have that strength. Amen. And so I want to encourage you today. Those are not things that you find in everybody. Now, you might see love, and you might think of long-suffering. Hey, they work together. But this is a description of a person that is spirit-filled, that is Christ-like, and is someone that is able and willing to be all those things. So I read that list, and I look at that list, and I'm thinking, and what am I struggling with? What is it I need to work on? And the reality is, I need to become closer to the God, because he can produce that fruit in my life. No matter how much you try, you're not going to produce patience in your life if you don't have it. It's only when you give your life over to him, he produces it. You say, well, I wish it was this, and I wish I could do this better, and I wish I could do this better. It's a tell sign that there's something wrong inside. There's something wrong that we need to get right with him, or we need to get closer to him, or we need to surrender to him. It keeps on going here in verse number 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, so saying that they have put that to death. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. This morning, I think it's a challenge to be a well-rounded Christian. I think to possess these things that are found in verses 22 and 23 are impossible to do on our own, at least all of them. But God says it's available. Think for a few seconds what the Holy Spirit does. He was called the divine comforter. He was the one that, even though Jesus was leaving the disciples, and I'm sure their hearts were broken, he says, but the comforter, which is of the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He even says to the disciples, it's expedient for you that I go away. I'm sure those 11 disciples are saying, what are you talking about? Why would it be good for me if you leave? You being here is the best thing that can happen to me. He says, no. It's expedient. It's best, because not only I'm not going to have to be here with you physically anymore, the Holy Spirit, he's sending the Spirit of God. He says, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He is called the Comforter. He comforts us. Also, the Holy Spirit, not God, not only comforts us, he guides us into truth. Think about what it says in John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. So what the scripture is saying, the Holy Spirit of God, that if you're a believer today that lives within you, he not only is able to comfort us, and thank him for that, he comforts us in a day and a time that seems so overwhelming. The devil is so good at offering you guilt, so good at the shame, but the Holy Spirit of God is the one that offers us hope and offers us forgiveness and offers us the opportunity to be able to be comforted during these times. But not only does he comfort us, he leads us to truth. He shows us what's right. He shows us what's wrong. He uses the Word of God to teach us and demonstrate to us those things. He helps us understand the Bible. He helps us remember the inspired Word of God. He strengthens us also. You say, Pastor, there's no way I can be everything that book says. Instead, we try not to be anything like it. There's no way I can accomplish the things that are written in that book. And that's the truth. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I say amen. We cannot do it on our own. But with the Spirit of God, he's made us a promise that if we let him control and be filled with the Spirit of God, he can produce these fruits even in our own lives. He strengthens us. It says in Romans 15:13, now the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We looked at Ephesians 3:16 this morning, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That inner man we were talking about, he will strengthen you with might in the inner man. You say, Pastor, I would love to be a mom, or I love to be a husband. I love to be whatever role you have, and be a person that has love and that has joy and that has peace and that has long suffering, that has goodness and gentleness, has temperance, meekness, all those things. That would be great. That'd be wonderful. It's available to you. It's in you with the Spirit of God who resides in you. It's just whether or not you allow it to come out. I also think about he empowers us to witness. This is one of those things that is the challenging thing, is that many times people don't want to witness because they feel like they can't. They're not able to. But God said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the othermost parts of the world. What the Bible is saying this to the disciples, he says, look, you're going to receive power. And once you receive power, you're going to be witnesses to me. He said, well, Pastor, if I have the Holy Spirit of God, how come I'm not a witness? It's because of the fact that you don't let him fill your life. We learned about that last Sunday afternoon. We talked about the things we should be worried about. Now, Jesus was talking to the disciples and those as he's getting ready to ascend up. And he looks at them and he says to them, and they're asking about the kingdom. He says, the kingdom's not what you need to worry about, but ye shall receive power. You don't need to worry about the kingdom, but you need to worry about being filled with the Spirit of God. And you need to worry about being witnesses. That's what he wants us to be concerned about. But many times we are over here and all we're worried about is what the kingdom of God is going to be like, or if the kingdom of God is going to come today. And I think those are good. He tells us to wait. He tells us to watch. But Jesus, when they were asking about that, he says, no. That's not what I want you to worry about. This is what I want you to be worried about. Be spirit-filled. Be a witness. Ephesians 5:18 puts it this way, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He tells us to be filled, which means be controlled. I used to work, when I was in Bible college, I worked 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. at a Rite Aid pharmacy in Newcastle, Delaware. It was about 15 minutes away from the Delaware Memorial Bridge. It wasn't that far away from New Jersey. It was pretty close to Wilmington. And back then, 24-hour stores were not as popular as they today. So people would travel over the bridge to come see us, and people from Wilmington would come to see us. And I tell you, some people in the morning time could be so sweet and so nice, so kind. You had clientele that would stop by and they'd get their drinks and they would get other things. But if you saw them on a Saturday night after they had been to the local bar and they were drunk, they were no longer nice or sweet many times. They were completely different. So what are you getting at? I'm saying that the way they acted in the morning time on the way to work, and they were dressed as they were going to work and they were ready and they were doing all those different things, they acted the way that they would normally act. But at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, Sunday morning or Saturday morning, you know what would happen? They got something in them that they no longer were they controlling themselves. You know what they were controlling? They were being controlled by the booze or the alcohol or the drugs. And it would cause them to say things that they would not normally have said. They would cause them to do things that they normally would not do. It would cause them to act in ways that were inappropriate, that you would think, hey, that sweet lady that comes in every Tuesday, or it comes in every Thursday, or that guy who's on his way to work dressed in a suit and tie and buying something for that. You know, those people that say good morning to you and they're cursing at you those times is because no longer are they controlled by the things that themselves have been controlled by, the alcohol or the drugs. Now, it didn't happen all the time, but it was completely different because they were controlled by a different substance. And Ephesians 5:8, when it says, and be not drunk with wine, which is where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, he's saying, just like a man who is drunk is no longer able to control themselves, they're under the influence of the alcohol. That's what you get, the under the influence, when it talks about driving, that if you allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill your life and fill your heart, you can be under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, and no longer are you doing the things that you normally would. Instead, you're producing the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. Where before you were not able to talk and be able to be a witness. Before you were shy, but God can give you boldness. I think about those disciples on the day of Pentecost that got up and preached the gospel, being filled with the Spirit of God, unlike anything they had ever experienced. Why? What made the difference? The Spirit of God did. I want to encourage you today in your life, if you truly want to succeed, if you truly want to be someone who is able to be that well-rounded strength and honor, zeal and knowledge, truth and grace, mercy and truth. If you want to be everything that Bible cries out that you can be, and that love, that joy, the peace, the long-suffering, all those things you struggle with, God can help you in every single one of those areas if you would let him take control of your life. So I can't do it. You've gotten it halfway right. You can't do it, but God can through you. So he desires us to be controlled. He desires to control our actions and our reactions. If a person accepted Christ as their personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God lives in them. This morning's message is not a gospel message as much as it normally may be on a Sunday morning, but the reality is you cannot be the mom, dad, or whoever it is that you are, that you should be, without the Holy Spirit of God, without accepting Christ as your personal Savior. God loved us so much. He saw us that we were sinners and in need of a Savior, that it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent his Son down to die for us because of our sin need. And when we cry out to God and confess that we're sinners and in need of a Savior and believe that he died and buried and rose again for our sins, and he can pay our sin debt, and we believe completely and totally in his finished work, he says he'll save us. Praise the Lord for that. And the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives within you, and you're able to produce these things that you never thought you could. I've seen men and women who at one point in time struggle with certain things, and once they became a believer, it may have taken a little bit of time, but they've changed. Someone who was so angry and mad before lets God take over control and is quiet and peaceful. It's amazing. Even this past week, I had someone tell me, hey, it's God that did the work. I remember I used to be a person that had no patience and would get angry all the time, but God. And also he credited his wife in helping him to become someone who can be patient and someone who can be kind. So not only does Scripture tell us to be filled with the Spirit, it tells us to walk in the Spirit. Look what it says in verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse number 16, it says, this I say, then walk in the Spirit. This picture is not being Spirit-filled for just a second or two. It means that my entire life, I'm giving it over to him. I'm letting him control. I'm letting him make the decisions. I'm letting him lead me. I'm letting him direct me. I'm letting him guide me. So I'm walking. It's an everyday part of my life. And so many times we want to put God in this area, and we want to live the rest of our life the way we want. But he says, if you're able and you're willing to submit himself and give yourself completely over to him, you know what's going to happen? It's got to be every area of your life. But as you walk with him, he's promised you that you can be filled with his Spirit. And as you're filled with his Spirit, you know what happens? He begins to produce fruit. And don't get me wrong, I know producing fruit many times people think is bringing believers and other Christians, and I get that. I understand that. Having people saved is fruit, and we want fruit that remains. But he also uses the word fruit here, that we want the Holy Spirit of God to produce these things in our life. But here's the problem is, you can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, excuse me, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 and 31, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you with all malice. You can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You say, what is the word grieve? It means when you're willfully sinning, even when he convicts you. You know, when your child was really little, and you say, you better not touch that. And they touch it anyway. Of course, your kids never did that. You were the perfect mom or the perfect dad. But if you know your son or daughter, you've given them instruction, and they do something on purpose, even in front of you, it grieves your heart. It breaks your heart. You're like, I wish you would. Does that mean you're not their mother or father anymore? Of course it doesn't. Does it mean you stop loving them? Of course it doesn't. How often do we grieve the Holy Spirit of God when he convicts our heart about sin and says, hey, you shouldn't be doing that? And you're like, I know, but I don't have a choice. Do have a choice, but you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He said, Pastor, I can't produce the love, joy, peace. Is there an area in your life that you're grieving him with? Because if he has control, you know what? He says you can. These areas, not only does it say that we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God, we can quench the Holy Spirit of God. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 19. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. What does that mean? I like the illustration one time I heard talking about the Holy Spirit. There's a fire there. And sometimes the Holy Spirit's trying to do a work in your heart and work in your life. I think this past March when the Van Gelderen's here, God was working in a lot of people's hearts and lives. And it seemed like revival is coming in some people's. And I know that we've seen more prayer time. We've seen people encouraged. But it had what some people do with when God's speaking to their heart, they dump water on the fire. They put the fire out. And sometimes when the Holy Spirit of God has been speaking to your heart and God starts stirring things up in your heart, and when you say, no, I don't want that, you take a bucket of water and you just dump it on the fire. And so a lot of people, God's been trying to speak to your heart for a long time. God has been trying to say, hey, you need to be faithful here. You need to get this right. You need to do this right. You need to do this right. And all we're doing is dumping water on the fire when we ignore God's teaching and the Holy Spirit's promptings. Have you been quenching the Spirit in an area of your life? I want to tell you, I understand it is a huge challenge to be a Christian and do everything that the Bible says. To be that well-rounded believer that speaks of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There is no law against having all those different things. It's impossible to do on your own. But you have to learn to surrender your life to him. And he says he can make you a person that loves. Can't do it, Pastor. He can make you a joyful person. You say, well, that person's never going to have joy. The Holy Spirit can produce it. Not only can the Holy Spirit produce it, it's already inside of you. I know there used to be a, and I don't know who or what, whatever tomato sauce commercial there was, spaghetti sauce. And they talked about, what about the onions? What about this? And they said, it's in there. It's already in there. They're smelling it. What about this? It's in there already. And it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit of God. It's inside of you. You're saying, no, it's not. It's because we haven't given him control. He can produce this fruit in your life. I'm not saying that I'm always all the way there either. But the one thing I don't want to do is when he's speaking to my heart, I don't want to quench it. I don't want to put the fire out. I think that's what we do sometimes when he starts working on our hearts, working our lives. Maybe we come and make a commitment. Maybe sitting there, you make a change. I know I need to change. I know that. And then you step out and you walk away and you hear God say, stop, don't do that. And you're like, we dump water on it. Let God do a thorough work in your heart. As a mom, you have so many different responsibilities and so many things that are needing your attentions and so many different things that you want to do and be a blessing, how you want to care for people spiritually. Make sure that you have cared yourself and taken care of yourself, that you have submitted and given your heart over to him and let him have control, because from that, he can lead, he can guide, he can make you able to do everything on that list and things that you never even could imagine that you were able to do. You say, well, I could never do that, or I could never do that. If it says it here, you can. More than you ask or think. We looked at that when we talked about strengthening the inner man in chapter Ephesians 3:16 and talked about a few verses later down about how he can do whatever more than you have ever asked or think. Why is that? It's because it's not you doing it. It's him doing it through you. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of a transformed life. When I think so highly of myself, which is not often, I could look at this list and say, okay, how do I do when it comes to love? How do I do when it comes to joy? How do I do when it comes to peace? I like to skip over the next one, the long-suffering one. I'm not good with that. Now, I might be patient with lots of people. The one person, or the people I'm not patient with, is my family. The person I should love the most and be patient with the most. And how do I do that? It's because of the fact I got to let the Holy Spirit control. And you continue on. How if you're taking a test, or how am I doing with gentleness? You say, Pastor, I'm a man. I'm not supposed to be gentle. Jesus was gentle. Now, there were times when he was passionate and he was angry at sin. It was a holy anger. So how do you do that? How can you separate the two? You can't. Only God can. And when you give yourself over to him, he can make it happen in your life. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. There's nowhere that says you cannot have all those things. Instead, it says not only can you have those things, you have them already. It's just you got to let the Holy Spirit bring them out. I know it may be a little different of a Mother's Day message. My desire, I was planning on preaching it tonight. My desire is I like telling Bible stories. I like preaching through Bible stories. And tonight, if the Lord keeps on leading, we're going to talk about Hannah and how much I enjoy Hannah. She was a praying mom. She was a promise-keeping mom, and she was a praising mom. And we're going to look at those hopefully tonight, just different things in there. But God wanted me to preach this message this morning, and there was a reason for it. Maybe somebody's not going to be here tonight, or maybe I'll encourage them to come back tonight. But the reality is we fail taking care of others spiritually when we don't take care of ourselves spiritually first. When we don't surrender ourselves over to him, we're not going to produce these things. Don't get me wrong. I've seen lots of great moms doing lots of great things. You go down a long list. We have some wonderful kids in the back. They're a great reflection of their mom and great reflection of their dad. And I think some of them would even say, if not most would say, as the choir sang earlier, they saw Christ in them. They taught them about Jesus. They taught them those things and all those other things. That's all well and good. But you're not going to be able to be exactly what God wants you to be unless you surrender to him. Not just surrender for a moment, but surrender to where you realize you're dependent upon him. And let, like the alcohol can control an individual, let the Spirit of God control you so you can be what he desires for you to be. So this is not just about being a Spirit-filled mom. This is about being a Spirit-filled Christian. You hear this morning, you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm a Christian. I don't know if I die today that I would go to heaven. We'd love to have somebody take the Bible and show you straight from the Bible what it says about how you can be born again and the necessity of being born again. But if you're a believer here this morning, the Spirit of God lives in you, and you can have these fruits producing in your life on a regular basis. And if they are not being produced on a regular basis in your life, not just some of them, all of them, be filled with the Spirit of God. Give him control. Let him produce this in your life. He can. Not only can he can, but he will. Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verses 10 through 13, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So if you need the filling of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says just ask for it. And think about the description it's given. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? So what the Bible is saying there, and it's speaking to fathers, but obviously it can be applied to mothers, is if you turn around and your son asks you for a piece of bread, you're not going to give him a rock. If he asks you for a fish, you're not going to give him a serpent. If you ask you for an egg, you're not going to give him a scorpion. Now, if he asks you for a candy bar, you might give him an apple. But that's the whole difference point. You're not going to give him something bad when he's asking for something he needs. But the Bible continues on by saying, if ye, then being evil, talking about the human that is sinful, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? Not just a comparison there. Yeah, God can do the same thing. No. It says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You say, Pastor, I don't know how to be Spirit-filled. Ask him. Surrender yourself. Just start saying yes. and continue on saying yes and see what God can do. God wants you to be a spirit-filled believer. It's a command that says, be not drunk with wine. We say, yes, you shouldn't be drunk with wine. Amen. But he says, but be filled with the Spirit. Didn't stop being a command there. It's something that we should continually be seeking. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you for today, and I thank you for the people that are here. I thank you for specifically our mothers this morning. Thankful for all the people that come, but I know mothers have such a challenging role and challenging things that they face. There's no way they can do all the things that they're expected to do and do it with a Christ-like attitude and their own strength. No way that they can show Christ the way that songs have been sung today. It is such an honor and a blessing and a privilege to be a mother, but it's a hard job. Lord, they need you. Help convict their hearts about even though they want to help their kids spiritually, but they must first take care of themselves spiritually. Lord, also speak to their hearts about the importance of being surrendered to you and being spirit-filled. Lord, that the important need that's there is they need love and peace and joy and long-suffering. They need the goodness and the temperance and the meekness and the, Lord, they need all those things. Lord, help them to see it. Help them to embrace it. Help them to ask you this morning to be a spirit-filled Christian. Lord, it's not just for moms, though. If we had a church full of spirit-filled Christians, Lord, we could turn this world upside down. Lord, give us a desire to want to produce these fruits. Help us to consider what these fruits mean and what they represent and how you can produce these in our lives if we will just be willing to surrender, not just for a moment, but surrender and depend upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.